And everybody, oh, there we go. Got it right. It's always such a blessing and privilege to be able to be here worship together. Also a real honor for us to represent you before the Lord and to be able to serve together with you in the triple borders of, who can tell me what flag this is? The one on the top. Colombia, the one in the middle? Brazil? Peru. So we're on the triple borders of Colombia, Brazil, and Peru. We've been there for the past 13 years. We've had the privilege of serving the Lord in the Amazon for over 40 years. The first 40 years we served in teaching aspects, church planting, but also using the airplane as a tool to take the gospel to remote Indian villages and river communities. And now we're doing the same thing with a boat. So it's been a blessing to be there in Benjamin Constant for the past 13 years. Wilson and I, we have three kids. Our oldest one, Joshua, he lives in Pensacola, Florida, with his wife, Leanne. And we had the wonderful opportunity to spend some time with them at the beginning of our trip and meet our, well, we saw her once before, but to spend some time with our baby granddaughter girl, Aurora. And that was really precious. She's gone through a lot these last 2 years, had a 15 and a half heart surgery a couple of months after she was born, and a lot of other issues, but she's a miracle baby, and we just praise God we had a chance to see her and hug her and cuddle. And we have a daughter, Julie, and her husband, Brandon. They live in Fort Myers, Florida. They're both nurses, nurse practitioner. Their ministry is reaching out to people through their jobs, and it's been a blessing for them, too. And also, we have the wonderful opportunity to serve together with our youngest daughter, Jessica, and Ben and her family, four grandkids right there in the Amazon. We get to have them over for dinner. We get to have them for Sunday lunch or Sunday dinner, and just serve the Lord together. And we praise God for that. But I'm thankful for the opportunity God has given me through the years to work with children. I'm a teacher, elementary ed teacher. And God, he likes to use what he trains you. He gives you gifts, and teaching is my gift. And so for the past several years, I've been working on Sunday school Bible lesson plans in Portuguese, because even flannelgraph material, it's wonderful, but the books come in English and Spanish, not in Portuguese. So I came up with the idea of putting together, printing up lesson plans in Portuguese. There's Christian bookstores in downtown Manaus that gives me material that's left over. Most of it's visuals. It doesn't come with the teacher's manual or student's workbook. And so with my lesson plans, printing them up, I can provide resources for teachers of the churches that we plant. And I also train the teachers and train them how to use those resources, work with them. We learn about what is salvation. Are they really saved? What it means to be saved, and how can they reach out to the children in their communities. So I just praise the Lord for your prayers, because the things we do down there, God intends for us to work as a community, a team, and we couldn't do it without you. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Stay here a little bit. 42 years ago was the first time I came to this country. I didn't know how to speak English. And I came here to marry Lori. I didn't met my future father-in-law and mom-in-law. It was the first time I saw them. And I know that was good times for them, but also a hard time for them. Because they knew that I would come, you know, and I would drive with my father-in-law in the town of West Ellis and that area. And I was just driving with him, but he couldn't speak to me. And just imagine, you know, our youngest daughter are going to leave this country and go to live with this fellow that he didn't know, and go right away into the jungle in Peru, and Bolivia first, and then more in the north of Brazil. It was not easy. Today we have, you know, cell phone, we have internet. That time, you know, we didn't have telephone. We had a ham radio, and we would say, look, we had set down a day in a month that we could talk to them. And if sometimes we were all excited to be there on the ham radio, and depends the air, you know, the sun, all the waves of radio waves would go really clear and sometimes not. And sometimes we would be excited to talk to mom and dad, her mom and dad, because they had a ham radio. My mom and dad didn't have a ham radio. But we were waiting for that day. And when we would come there and we turn on the radio, and that day was okay, we turn it off. Okay, let's wait for next month. But, you know, in all these years, I was accepted by my father-in-law and my mom-in-law that helped to start the church here in the town and help make it happen with you guys. And they never, you know, I never felt that I was not belonging to the family. I always was received so lovingly. And praise God for all these years. And I did not plan to say that, but she never told Wilson, I would love to come back to my country. You know, where God sent us, and that was the right place to be. And praise God for that, because he gave you the loving. You know, we sang two songs here, tremendous. Send me and let your candle shine. Didn't say what age. You know, it's always until God calls us home. Send me always until God calls me home. And praise God for that. It's a privilege. Now we have 42 churches in this area for the last 13 years. We have 22 churches in Brazil with Indian communities and also river communities. We have 20 churches in Peru. And God just sent us to start and to believe, really believe, that the one that empowered us, that is the Holy Spirit, it's the same that empowers them. You're looking for pastors. No, you're still here. You're looking for a pastor. But the one that God has prepared here, you know, and you're praying, God is going to answer that, you know, is the one that God has empowered. Not the one that is going to speak good, is going to be a look good looking, you know, but it's the one that is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants us to be together and pray for all of you with this. And this 42 churches, you know, somebody would say, wow, in 13 years, 42 churches. And I say, what about it? Would be 400, 4,000. Because it's so many communities that doesn't know anything about the Lord, especially in Peru. Yes, we need a lot of churches still in the Amazon area in Brazil, but when you go in Peru, you just go by boat, and here is one village, another village, another village, another village. Some are 200, some are 300, some are 500, some are 2,000, and doesn't have any church. And we just started two more churches in the Napo River, and you know the Napo River is the same river that goes into Ecuador, and where Nate sent Jim Elliot and all the martyr in 1955, you know, were there martyred by the Alcas. That area is evangelized. But when the river flows into Peru, has 160 communities and has only three churches. In the same river after 70 years ago, you know, that happened. And praise God, you know, what we want to say here when we are together is that everyone is on a mission. We are not better. We were sent there, but God sent you where you are. Doesn't matter how old are you. You know, God wants to use you as a vessel. And that's what I'm going to speak here with you guys and try to share a little bit in between what goes on. You know, the difference that it makes when the gospel comes in one soul, it changes the whole family, and then it changes the whole environment. God is not interested just in cleaning your heart. It cleans your kitchen, cleans your living room, cleans you home, cleans you outside, where you are, you know, because God really changed you. And I want to try to share with you a little bit about that. Thank you so much, Lori.
I just want to say real quick, I did love that song too, Let Your Light Shine. That happens to be my life verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify the Father who is in heaven.
Just
see,
a little
see
bit
his good works.
The training of teachers that you all do too, you know.
I did do a training, a teacher training right before we came. It's 2 months. There's a graduation at the end. It was really exciting. Brazilians are never on time. They're always late. Do kids come late? Never. Kids, if they can, they're like 20 minutes, half an hour early. They can't wait to get there. And so I was teaching them those kind of things, and it was amazing. Throughout the entire course, all the teachers came 10 to 15 minutes early. And I said, oh, good, now you have plenty of time to study the material that we've already learned, because there's a test at the end. It's written and practical. We had graduation. Their pastors came, because it was this time was five different churches, denominations represented, and their pastors and leaders came to give them their certificates, and we had a little brunch, but we had a little class at the very, you know, right before they came, and the teachers weren't as enthusiastic as I thought they should be, and I kind of asked them towards the end, I said, what's with you guys? And they said, well, what do we do now? We don't want to stop coming. We want to learn more. So keep praying for me. I do have other workshops, and when I go back, I don't know if I'll get to teach this class right away because we have other commitments, but I have workshops that are 3 weeks, another one that's 1 week, and I'd like to just keep working on training them, and sometimes I go into the interior and river villages, Indian tribes, to do the same training over a weekend, but when I'm in town, it's a two-month period of time, or the workshops that are 1 to 3 weeks, but thank you so much for your involvement in all that, too.
And I do the same because it's all new people. And we have a pastor today that doesn't know how to read and write. And he uses the talking Bible, and he keeps hearing it, hearing it, hearing it. And then when he speaks, it is tremendous. The whole village today is Christian, and the pastor doesn't know how to read and write. We do a lot of training. Every 2 months we have one seminar somewhere in the river to teach the new leaders that God is raising, because almost nobody wants to come from somewhere else. And I tell them always, you know, don't wait for somebody that comes from far away. You know, God wants to use you. And it's such a joy, you know, such a joy to do that, because when a pastor comes from outside or missionary, if they get sick, they go to their home. But the locals know when they get sick, they still stay there. And it's so good. You know, I would like to share a little bit about this passage, you know, from Acts, you know, chapter 19, 15 to 17. And the title that God put in my heart, it's that the spiritual world needs to know your name. Because when the Spirit, you know, came here, they said that that some men of Ephesus, they tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus and in the name of Paul. But the Bible says that they tried to cast out demons, but without the relationship with God. And God, the Bible says that they were, that was a disastrous, that was terrible, because they got beaten, and the demons, you know, ripped up their clothes, and they went ashamed back, because they didn't had the real relationship with the Lord. They just had the appearance. Why did the devil, Satan, came and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? God, thank you so much. It's all about you that we wanna that you want to share, that we want to live. It's about you. And we want, our Father, to be what you want us to be. Because we belong to you. We sang, your Father, send me. So many times we wait for something to happen. But in the New Testament, his order was, go. I don't need to be waiting to be sent. I need to go. But not in my own power, it's in yours. It's just about you. It's just about you. The first point that I want to share a little bit with you, it's that the spiritual world knew about Paul and about Jesus and about this man. What did he know? What did he know? What the spiritual world knew about Jesus? The spiritual world knew about Jesus that Jesus defeated them on the cross. And that not only the past, but the present and the future, Jesus is the winner. It's the one that defeated all the demons with Satan altogether. That it's written in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. But also, he knew about Paul. What did he know about Paul? That Paul was in Ephesus. And after he fell from the horse, that Jesus came and spoke to him, completely transformed the life of Paul. And he's mentioned, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, because that was happening in Ephesus, and this man in Ephesus tried to use the name of Paul and Jesus. But Paul was known by the devil and Satan and all his spiritual beings. Was knowing that said, I know Paul, because Paul was written in the book of life. The Bible says that in Philippians chapter 4, 3, that the man whose life was transformed with his name written in the book of life. What the demons knew about the man, or this man? The demons know that this man was just trying to live an appearance using somebody's example. They had the right word in the name of Jesus, was casting out the demons. But they tried to use imitation. And God doesn't want you to live a life that it's imitate somebody else, because God is personal. God wants to talk to you and to me, and the devil needs to know for who you belong. Then the devil, Satan, knew Jesus and knew Paul, but also knew the ones that were just trying to imitate a Christian life. You know, in the States here, we don't talk too much about Satan. We don't talk too much about all the battle that goes on besides this week. This week, everyone is knowing what's going on in the news, and it's moving the whole almost the whole world. What happened? But you know, every day is a battle. Just this year, more than 2,000 Christians were murdered in Nigeria and Congo. But it doesn't change us. We don't even pray for them. So many people are in jail because of the name of Jesus. I'm being sued today still for many years because I'm changing the cultures. And that's okay. But we want to live an edge, you know, right on the fence. Oh, okay, I don't want to be, you know what they're going to think about it. If you're right here and at the top of the fence, you are just the same than this man that tried to cast out demons. And the devil doesn't bother with you. The second point would be what the spiritual world knows about you. What the spiritual world knows about you. He knows if you really made a decision for Christ, not just coming to the church, but trying to renew yourself every morning. What the Bible says that the blessings from yesterday, it passed. The ones for tomorrow could be that it's going to come. But today, he wants to renew us because he is God. He has so many blessings that never gets old. But we are used to talk about how we were serving the Lord many years ago when we got saved, how God changed our lives. But I'm so excited when I wake up and I say, God, thank you so much. It's so exciting because I know that you have something else prepared for me today. Just let me be sensitive for you, Holy Spirit, and to know, you know, what it is. Because I get sidetracked. Families get so sidetracked. You know, I need to run and see our kids and my grandkids when they are playing soccer, when they're playing this, when they're playing that. I need to do this, I need to do that. And your life gets so busy. Yes, all this is good. But do you know really what schedule that the Lord has for you today? And it's not just coming to church. Yes, it's good. We need to be here. The Bible says, I'm happy when I go to the house of the Lord. Yes, but it's more than this. It's a lot more than this. You know, it's where you walk, you are different. Then the spiritual world, what he knows about you. Are you in the fence? Did you already accept the Lord? Did you give your life to him? Are you living by appearance? Or you really want to serve him? If you really gave your life to him, then something really happened that it's important that you need to know. The Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says that the day that the Lord came in your heart and you opened up and you died for yourself and you start to live for him, your name was written in the book of life. You know, before, we were without family, Christian family. We were without a daddy. We were without a father. We were, when you are not adopted, what is it? What's the name still? You were orphan. You were orphan. But now, no, when you accept the Lord, you are not orphan anymore. You are written in the book of life, and then it says, Mary, John, Paul, Peter, Lori, what name it is. You know, then they said, it's written in the book of life. Who is the Father? God. Who saved it? Jesus. Who came in it? The Holy Spirit. How that? It's written down. Now you belong. You are not orphan anymore. And we need to know really, that now we belong. And when we belong, it's not that you can have a choice anymore. No, now I'm going to be doing this. No, you are adapted. You are my son. You are my daughter. You know, and now you carry a name. Another thing that we need to know is that you become a new creation. Corinthians 5:17. You become a new creation. You know what's a new creation? You know when a baby is born, You know the skin? Beautiful skin. You know, really nice and soft. And you touch it so good. You know, our mind, it's rough. Wrinkles all over. But can you imagine you now become a Christian and half of your body, it's a new skin. And the other part of your body, it's all wrinkled. Are you a new creation? No. It can't mix like that, you know. You are a new creation. You can't carry your world with you. Yes, you are still in this world, but the world is not what controls you. You became a new creation. We need to know that now God sees me without sin because Jesus died for me. Paul said, I don't live anymore. Who lives in me is the Lord. That is so, so good, and we need to know that. We need to carry that possession. I belong. I'm a new creation. And God says, if you do that, he says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. I am always with you. Doesn't matter what you feel. It's a character of God that he's always with you. That's why even when we go through sin, something that doesn't please God, he's still there with his hand. Come here, son. Come here, daughter. Lift up. I'm with you. Another thing that happens, you know, that the devil needs to know about you is that you have a new identity. And you know what it really means, a new identity here? It says that your spiritual trails reflect Jesus. One example, if I have my ID and I show you here, Wilson Kannenberg, his father, Udo Kannenberg, mom, Yolanda Kannenberg, and somebody would say, anybody could put their name in there. How do I know that it's really Udo and Yolanda? Could be a fake identification. I could show you here my picture. No, it's written. But somebody could say, that still could be false. But if my dad would be here, praise God, he's with the Lord. But if he would be here in my sight, you would look to him and look to me, and it would say, Wilson just looks like his daddy. It's a new identity. You know, when they see you, they need to see Jesus. They need to see that you belong to the Lord that is almighty, that changed your life, and how exciting it is that you can represent him now and be proud and say, yes, I'm written in the book of life, and he gave me a new identity, and I want to more and more be like him. My face, my attitude, my mouth, my ear, my taste, you know, my hands, my feet, my whole body, you know, wants to more and more appear like Jesus. And that doesn't say what age. That doesn't matter until God calls us home. That's what it's supposed to be. And another thing, it's that really changes your lifestyle. You need to change your lifestyle in the way that the Lord gets worshipped all the time. Your testimony matches the message you preach. It's not just talking, it's living. Because the Bible says, you know, that the third point that I want to see here, what the spiritual world knows now, what you became. And it's amazing because the Bible says, and what we say, it's all correct. But two things need to happen in your life. All the rest, God says, what you are going to do. You know, you need to love.
You need to forgive. You need to go. You need to develop your salvation. All this you need to do. But the Bible says two things you need to be. And you can't go, you can't be, you can't just obey God to do the things without being two things. First one, God says that he written you in the book of life. But after he wrote your name in the book of life, that you accept the Lord, you know, you need to be two things. And the two things that God says that you need to be, he says in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, he says that you need to be salt and light. Why did he say that? Because he is light, and when the light comes into you, you know, you shine light, doesn't matter where you go. You know, you are walking in the place that is dark, you know, and the darkness disappears. When you turn on the light here, right away, the darkness disappears. You couldn't do any other way if here would be really dark. You would put this big sack of plastic or whatnot, and you fill it up with the darkness, and you go out there and throw it out, and then, you know, you would take the darkness out from here. No, still continue dark. But if you turn on the little light, the darkness disappears. Then the Bible says, be light as I am light. Okay? You need to be light. And if you are light, doesn't matter where you go, the darkness needs to disappear. That's why Satan, with his spiritual being, they didn't care about the man in Ephesus because they were not carrying the light. Another thing what he says that we need to be, that we need to be salt. Why? He said salt. Yes, people say, yeah, I use salt because then it doesn't get rotten, the food and all this. Yeah, all this is correct. But that what really means, what salt means is that anybody that sees you, it in, and also it's in your side, needs to be thirsty for what you have. You know, when you eat salt, what you need to have later on? Water. A drink. Because what? You're thirsty now. That's what the Bible says. You need to be salt. But people are surrounding you. Your family first. Your mother, your mom, your wife, your brothers and sisters, your kids. They need to know. And they want to say, I want to be like mommy. I want to be like daddy. And if your family are not Christian and you are Christian, they want to say, I want to be like my daughter. I want to be like my son. We need to create thirst because now when you have the light and you are salt, you can go out anywhere. Because, you know, people think that we being a missionary, far away that we are saint. I would love to be like this missionary. I want to be sent. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. The fourth point is that what the spiritual world knows is that you now obey Jesus' command. And what's his command? His command is that you make his name known, doesn't matter where you are. You know, when you go to the supermarket, and never come out of the supermarket and say, good morning, how are you? God bless. God is with you. Never, doesn't matter if they look bad at me, it doesn't matter. Because I'm light and I'm salt, and I know who I carry in me, and I wanted them to have the same. And as the pastor was explaining a little bit this morning, he said, doesn't matter if it's black, if it's white, if it's rich, if it's poor, if it's ugly, or if it's more fancy, if it's gay or a lesbian, or if drunk, doesn't matter. You carry the light.
and you see, you start to see just the soul. You don't see the outside anymore. And when God saw us, he didn't see the outside because the outside was ugly. But the Bible says that we were like a dirty rag. But he saw our inside, our soul, our spirit. And that's why he died for us. That's why Jesus died for us. And we need to see the people, the beauty. And that you have this light, you have this taste that they need to see in you. And sometimes they're going to be angry. That's why they kill Christians. Because they can handle the light, they can handle the salt. And that's okay. One of the things that really helped me a lot is when we went to Benjamin Constant, that was 13 years ago, was the 24th of December, and we had just a little things. We packed the plane and said, Lori had agreed already, the kids had agreed, they were not with us anymore, they went to school. It was just I and her. We went in the plane the 24th of December. We bought a house without seeing the house. It was from our neighbors. And we went to that place. Nobody came to say, hey, Pastor, you ain't. Nobody knew us in that place. We tied the plane, went to a little hotel. And the next morning, the 25th of December, we went there and, okay, let's go and see the house. Let's clean. And we got some brooms and some rags and went there and we started to clean. It's a beautiful house, but it was a mess. And we started to clean around 3 o'clock. We were hungry. Okay, let's see if we can go into town and see if we can eat something. We went to the town. Was everything closed? It was the 25th of December. Okay, it's a good time for starting to fast. And then next week, you know, came a person and said, I don't know you, but I came to tell you that you're going to die. I said, okay, I'm going to die anyway. And then a few weeks later, another one came. You're going to die. And then another one came. I'm going to die. You're going to die. I didn't say anything to my wife. But, you know, I started to, oh, it looks like it's serious. You know, many people coming, you know. And I started to fill it up, the paper. Okay, the book account is this. The secret is this. Here's the halls. Here's where all the papers are. This. And then I said, oh, Lori, I want to share with you, you know, where our belongings is, our assets is, and all that. And I just preparing, you know. I don't know how long I live and all that. I was supposed to do that even before, but I didn't do it. But this time, you know, I did. And then I called my son and said, look, here's where it is, all this. You know, and I, being a pilot for more than 40 years, you know, I always would go to the shortest place from A to B. Because that's the shortest, it's more economical. It doesn't matter if it's jungle or not. But now I'm starting to get afraid. And I flew over the river. Oh, if something happened, I still, at least I can land the plane in the water. Because it's a float plane, and it was terrible. Any little different noise in the engine, whoop, you know, it was a torture. Until one day I read the verse that I had read many, many times, but never had a meaning. And it said, your days are counted. You don't go one day before, and you don't go one day after. And then just fell in. I said, thank you, Lord. From today on, I'm going to live as it wouldn't be a tomorrow. That freed me so much. And I do that until today. I live today as it wouldn't be a tomorrow. If it's a tomorrow, praise God. That's in the morning. Thank you for waking me up because you have a purpose for me. That's what God wants to do with us all. He has a purpose. It doesn't need somebody to be killed like you had a terrible situation this week. It doesn't need to be like that. We need to die for ourselves to live for Christ. I'm in an area that is guerrilla, drugs. Close to churches has coca tree. Cocaine tree? Coca tree? And they test you what you, if you're going to denounce. I'm not there for that. I'm there to bring the gospel. If something happened, it's my time. Like Kirk's wife said, who was the time? We don't like it, but it was the time. I just want to finish and as a conclusion say, in the spiritual world, your name matters when it's connected with Christ. In the spiritual world, your name matters when it's connected with Christ. It is not enough to speak about Jesus, to use the name Jesus. We need to live Jesus. We need to live Jesus. If your name is in the book of life, your life is living proof that Jesus reigns, and the spiritual world recognizes it. What I'm willing to live for and what I'm willing to die for. And you say, well, that's a heavy message. No, that's an exciting message. Makes me excited to go back until I can't do it anymore. And when I can't do it anymore, then I can stop and pray or can do, I don't know what. I just know that until God doesn't take us home, He has a purpose for us. And that's so amazing because His strength and His joy renews us every day. That's why I tell Lori, you know what? We need to break all the mirrors in our house because then I don't see my wrinkles. I always think that I'm 19 because it's so exciting to live for Him. It's a joy to live for Him. But also it's a joy, if we need it, to die for Him too. Because demons and Satan can kill our body, but not our soul. Don't live an edge. Live for Him. It's exciting. Hear His voice and obey. God doesn't want a performance. He wants to have a life. It's a privilege to be used by Him. I always say that if we don't go, the world still is going to go because it's God's project. He knows in Psalm 139, He knows before I was born, all my days. The world still is going to go, but we are going to lose the blessing if we don't obey. And I want to make my Father in heaven happy because I'm obeying Him, because I hear His voice. I want to do the benediction now in Portuguese. It's 2 Corinthians 13, 14. I want to do that, and I would like everyone to stand up. We have a table with a, you can take a little card. Take it that you put in your Bible. Pray for us, and we are going to pray for you. If you don't receive a letter, put the email there. You know, it's main pictures and what goes on. A lot of pictures we can't show because if not, it comes against us. You know, and but just we would love to continue until God calls us home to be together with you guys. And we pray for you guys, for our new pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming in. You know, it doesn't matter what age, we are serving the Lord. Thank you so much. And I'm going to do the benediction first in Portuguese and then in English. Que a graça do Senhor Jesus Cristo, o amor do nosso Deus e a comunhão e a consolação do Espírito Santo seja com todos nós, não só hoje, mas para todos sempre. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, not only now, but forever. And everybody says, Amen. God bless. Have a wonderful and blessed Sunday. We love you guys.